Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Conversations About Meaningful Things. We're so glad that you joined us today. My name is Alex. I'm one of the hosts here. I'm joined today with two of my good buddies, Brian.
How's it going? And Steve.
Hey, Alex.
What's up, guys?
I was just distracted because I realized there are words on the sweet tarts.
Steve is eating sweet tarts right now. Apologies if you hear anything.
You can take the youth pastor out of youth ministry, but you can never take the youth ministry out of youth. I have no idea what I'm going for.
I know what your sentiment is, though. I get it. And, you know, we're coming through this season where, you know, hours are crazy. And did you guys stay up and watch the ball drop?
Oh, yeah. It's Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year.
No, I don't.
Never. Brian's like, what ball are you talking
Brian's
about?
Never said
I feel like... I've told this to a lot of people. Growing up,
I haven't heard it.
New Year's was never that fun because, like, it usually it always lined up with either when I was in like high school, either I wasn't able to be with friends because they were all over the place, so I was just home with my parents.
You're lonely,
and you're like, cool. Look at all these people having fun on the TV. Or maybe a relationship had ended, so then I was even more lonely. And you're watching all these happy relationships on the TV.
Yeah.
Oh, look, great.
The Christmas gift you now have to take back because you're not together anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining Brian like singing Auld Lang Syne quietly to himself.
Like, I have very distinct memories of just like sitting on the floor in our living room. I'm like, I might as well stay up. Just go to bed.
Dude, I feel like I need to go back in time and give that Brian a big old hug. Like,
yes. Man,
there have been many, in my adult life, many fun hangout and party stuff. But now as a parent, I'm sure you guys can relate that there's no reason.
No.
There's a lot of reasons to not stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah, sleep being the biggest one.
Correct.
What would today's Brian tell 14-year-old Brian?
It's going to be all right. This won't last forever. Yeah, I used to really love New Year's Eve. I still enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, the whole I have to stay up till midnight. I think we talked about this before we started. It all kind of ended when we started having kids and realizing, okay, we can stay up till midnight or later, but they're going to still wake up at their normal time, which is early. So that doesn't sound fun. And the new year comes. Anyways, I think I really like what you said you've done with your kids, Brian, is you just put the last year's YouTube video of Times Square, and for all they know, it's midnight and Happy New Year.
Nora, don't listen to bed.
Yeah.
I don't even think we even say we're pretty good at not like we treat her like the little human she is. And so we give her enough honesty. We're never like, no, it's actually 1 a.m. You must go to bed. But we would just say, hey, this is the ball drop. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's lying by omission a little bit, but
have you guys ever had any desire to go to Times Square for the actual ball drop? Have you ever wanted to do that?
I have negative desire to do that. Like I couldn't have less desire.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah. Again, when I was young and not as smart, I won't say dumb, but dumber. definitely. Like 18, 19. I remember actually one of my first friends in college, he was like, oh, that's like my dream.
Yeah.
Is to go there. And then I think it was him bringing it up freshman year of college that we looked into it, and people wear adult diapers and stuff. You have to get there so early.
And you're gridlocked in there, aren't you?
Like, yeah, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, no
or way. You can, but then you lose your spot. So then it's just worthless.
Yeah, I don't think it's for the faint of heart or the claustrophobic either.
Correct.
Now, the only draw for me would be our son lives in New York City. So
if he said,
hey, well, let's do this, then I might try and talk him out of it. And then if he insisted, like, oh, okay, maybe we can do this. But no,
yeah.
I just I really don't have any desire for that.
Yeah, when you said that, Brian, it gives you a whole new image when they're painting across the crowd. Like, all of those people are probably wearing Depends. Yeah, I'm the same way. So we talked about it, Kirsten and I, when we first got married, like, oh, it would be fun. And then the more I thought about logistically, I love that you can watch that on TV. Sure, maybe it's not the same experience, quote unquote, but you get to turn it off and crawl into bed. Those people have to stand out in the cold for hours.
You can watch it from bed.
Done that before.
You can have some good food at your place. Yeah. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, the thing with New Year's is it doesn't only happen in New York City. New Year's happens everywhere.
Yes.
There is, I've had this dream for a long time, and maybe eventually be able to do it, but it was just a little tip with traveling where the guy was like, yeah, I mean, New Year's, it's a great time to go anywhere because no matter where you go, they're going to be doing something fun.
That's true.
Like everywhere is going to be celebrating the new year.
Yeah.
So you might as well get out there and do it. Now, coming off of Christmas and everything else, you don't have a lot of desire to
or maybe
plan
money.
Out a bunch of stuff or money. Yeah. But it is cool.
I remember one year when I was still doing youth ministry, we did a high school all-nighter.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And places were available. It's like we rented out like a fun center and then a roller skating rink opened up for us or whatever. I forget all the things that we did. We did it for a couple of years and then parents loved it. Because they dropped their kids off at like, it was like a 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. thing.
Oh
it was a 12-hour event.
Yeah.
And a bunch of churches got together and did it.
That's incredible.
We had that when
maybe
I was
next
in
year.
High school. And I just remember that we went to see, I think it was Narnia was out in theaters.
Yeah.
That dates me a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went, did a bunch of stuff. Finally broke. All the guys went to one house. All the girls went to another house. And then we reconvened. I don't know why. They reconvened at the house that the guys were staying at for breakfast, and all the girls came in and were like, this place stinks. This is the worst smelling.
And then,
like, what did you guys do? And we're like, whoa, we were just hanging out.
Yep. Just your natural essence oozed
and
everything.
And then the discussion at next week's youth group was relationships.
That's right. And
boys are gross.
No.
All right, so
anyway, we spent a decent amount of time talking about New Year's, but another thing that oftentimes happens at New Year's is people make New Year's resolutions, right? Oh, this is the time to commit to do that thing or those things that you hope you don't forget about in two or 3 weeks. So what do you guys think about New Year's resolutions? Or maybe New Year's resolutions is one dynamic, but really the idea of, you know, resolving to make change in a person's life. Like, I want to see change happen in a personal, tangible way. Because, you know, a lot of times, stereotypically, it's, I'm going to lose X amount of pounds. I'm going to work out so many days. I'm going to get out of debt. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, what are these things? So what are you guys' thoughts on, you know, those things happening this time of year? Or even just in general, the idea of that personal resolve to initiate change in one's life.
Yeah. I mean, it's New Year's right now. So all of you listening, you probably have had this thought kind of brewing for at least the past couple days. And especially last night when you were watching that ball drop or specifically sleeping while the ball was dropping. Yeah. It's something that it feels there's a bit of a pressure that arrives with anything new, whether that's your birthday or especially, like you said, the new year. I think the idea and the heart behind it is good. I also think you can very easily get into a negative space when you feel when you're doing it because of pressure rather than, I don't know, just a healthy resolve to have a resolution. So
So you're saying pressure, like you feel like, oh, everybody else is doing it. I need to do something. Or I'm just doing this because I feel like I have to.
Yeah. I think healthy change is good.
Right.
I'll start there.
Yeah.
But I also think the way that people can go about it can be not good.
Yeah.
Not helpful at all.
For sure. Absolutely. I looked at this before we when I knew we were doing an episode on this, so Forbes put on out an article a year or two ago. They found 80% of resolutions that people make on average fail within the first like 4 to 8 weeks.
Oh, you're gonna say days.
First, yeah. I was wondering what's the time frame here.
So it's like an example. It's the quintessential. I got a gym membership, in because they were running a great deal, and I'm gonna go to the gym twice a week. And they start out strong, and then slowly motivation fades. I don't think resolutions in the maybe the old school way of thinking like this is my time, without any sort of parameters for yourself necessarily works. I don't think they're a bad thing at all. Mm-hmm. I think wanting change for yourself is good, but I think I'm curious maybe to dive into like what makes a a resolution, if we want to call it that, or a change that you want to see in your life, like what makes that stick versus just, you know, throwing something out there that you hope is different, but you never find legs for that. Like, how do you actually find something that's going to work for you?
Yeah. For me, I think there's two dynamics that are really important. One is what's the motivation? Like,
yeah,
why am I doing this? Like, is it because I have this health issue? It's because what's driving it? What's the motivation? And then the other is, what are the measurables? Yeah. So how do I, like, what's my time frame? What progress do I want to, like, how will I know how I'm doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those two things for me are personally, when I'm like either setting goals or, you know, trying to initiate change personally, those are the two things that I have to be pretty dialed in on, or else it's almost a non-starter, but it's definitely I'd be in the 4 to 8 week category for sure.
Yeah. When you set a resolution, and it's the, hey, I want to be this weight instead of the weight that I currently am.
Yeah.
Often that's going to be a thing that the time frame you don't realize is going to be much longer than you want it to be, really. So if you're saying, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds, I mean, a healthy way of doing that is probably in general, that's like 1 to 2 pounds a week. So you're saying, okay, it could be 20 weeks from now to lose that amount, and you're wanting to get to that spot, but you're not thinking of the small things you have to do every single day to get there.
Those small decisions,
And there's also the, hey, if you want to give up something, well, what if you slip? Then you say, well, then it's over. When in reality, if you slip up, that's fine. Get back up and keep going.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people talk about like, oh, this is my cheat day. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you mean that's your, like, I'm going backwards day? Like, I don't get it.
Sure.
I've been on my fifth in a row cheat day. Do you guys think the reason why we tend to fail at resolutions is because, Brian, like you said, I think as a culture we're this way, we tend to want things so instant. And so when the process actually is more of a, hey, this is a marathon, not a sprint to get where I want to get to, why we get fatigued and end up giving up. Do you think that's part of it?
Yeah, definitely. We aim really high, and it's okay to aim really high and to have lofty goals.
Yeah.
But you also have to have realistic expectations around that then.
Yeah. So how, like, what does a realistic expectation look like? What do you think? Like, what does it mean to have that?
I think going to what Steve was saying, breaking it down, what'd you say? Actionable.
Measurables.
Mm-hmm.
Motivation and measurables.
Yeah. Breaking it down in that way. So like when I turned 33, almost a year ago, when I hit that milestone, which isn't really a milestone, but I turned 33 and we had a newborn at home. I was like, okay, I just want to be healthier for my two daughters. I didn't go, and this is exactly what I want that to look like.
Right.
But I did say, but I'm going to make choices in my day to day to that end of what would make a healthier me.
Yep.
And it was just that. It was, okay, I could eat a little more ice cream or not. Well, what would a little healthier Brian do? I probably wouldn't. Then let's do that. That's a measurable, easily accomplishable thing. Rather than, oh, well, I'm never going to eat ice cream ever again. I know a lot of people that are doing this, and all power to you. They're doing the carnivore diet. That's crazy. But some people, it works really well for.
Yeah. And that's just eat nothing but meat?
Literally nothing but meat.
I don't know. At one level, it has some appeal to it, but at another level, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you hit on something, Brian, the extremes that we sometimes swing to. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'll never touch another hot dog, or I'll never eat to have another ice cream cone, when really it's probably more the little decisions we make along the way that are so important. And I think you hit on something that's, you know, let's not rush past that too quickly. So it's those little decisions. And I remember as you were talking about, you know, what would healthier Brian do? I think I remember someone at some point saying, you know, start acting or functioning the way the person you want to be would function. Mm-hmm. Like if I want to, you know, pick what it is, you picked healthier. You know, if I want to lose 10 pounds, what does a 10 pound lighter person, how do they function? Start playing the part, you know, you can grow into what you want to be. And so, you know, it may be an incremental change, but incremental change is a good thing. And that's where I think the measurables come in. Like, okay, if I want to be 20 pounds lighter in 5 months, that means how much in 2.5 months, how much next week, and what are the steps to get me there, right?
Yeah.
I think people talk about, you know, from a spiritual side, sometimes people say, I want to read through the Bible in a year. Okay, well, you break that down. Do you have a game plan? Or is it just you're going to start reading until you fall asleep or lose interest, and then you're going to be like, oh, I'm done. Mm-hmm. So having that game plan, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I kind of touched on it earlier, but realizing that if you do trip up, that's all that is. It's a trip up. It doesn't mean you should stop running the race. I mean, if you get to the end of the year and you're like, my goal was to read the entire Bible, and you got through 75% of it, that's still awesome.
It's probably 75% more than you would have gotten through.
Right. Absolutely. If you want to lose 20 pounds and you lose 10, great. Like, that's still healthy, but you wouldn't have even gotten to that point if you gave up when you tripped up. Like, you need to still get back up and say, hey, sure, that's a setback, but it shouldn't
absolutely
be, I don't know, the death call for what you're doing.
That's a great, like, thing to tuck away in our minds. Don't give up when you trip up. I like that.
Absolutely. And I think along that same vein, I love I love reading and hearing like highly successful leaders, people that have, you know, you could put quotes around, they made it, so to speak. Like, people would look and go, man, that's a success story, whether they're a high level leader or they've built a business. You look at their time of getting to that place, and more times than not, like, they just got really good at learning from their failures. There's not, and I think in my own life, and maybe you guys could speak to this, like, people that I really look up to and respect as people that I want to learn from and emulate in my life. It's like they have a whole journey that they've been on where they've learned from, you know, failures, or learned from other people's failures. But failure is not the enemy to success. I think sometimes we let things that we trip up on sometimes derail us, and instead of allowing ourselves to maybe learn from those and to actually be better and stronger, I think is a valuable lesson to learn sometimes from those.
Yeah, I think a lot of times failures aren't the enemy of success. They are marking out the pathway to success.
Yeah,
because you realize, okay, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that way.
Yeah.
That didn't work. I need to try something different. Yeah. You know, that discipline and tenacity is almost a part of every one of those kind of stories you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think another important dynamic, too, is what are the guardrails I can have for myself?
Right.
And sometimes those guardrails are, I'm not buying 5 gallons of ice cream every week. or it could be, do I have people that are in my life that can help me reach that goal? Whether it's, hey, my goal is to work out 3 days a week. Oh, well, having a workout partner that you say, okay, we're going to meet, so I know someone else is kind of counting on me, or I'm counting on them. You know, those relationships can be guardrails for us as well.
Yeah.
You know, if I say to my spouse, you know, please don't buy any more ho-hos. I don't want to eat any more ho-hos. You know, just, you know what I'm saying, right? So what are some guardrails that we can have And whether it's just the physical world kind of stuff we're talking about or our spiritual lives as well, you know, there are guardrails available to us. What's the wisdom and teaching of Scripture? What's the availability of people who are walking the same faith journey as me, who could come alongside maybe areas where I'm weak? You know, Scripture says if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. It doesn't say if you want to be wise, go read Encyclopedia Britannica, right? So, you know, what's some of the wisdom that's available to us from that standpoint as well, I think, is part of that equation.
Yeah. So what about that person who's like, I don't need anybody. I have my own tenacity, my own resolve. Like, I don't need anybody's help. Why can't we just, like, white knuckle it and just go, no, I'm going to do this and I don't need anybody in my corner. I got this.
I'm thinking of a quote I read one time that the self-made man has only himself to blame.
Ooh. I love that.
I think it's a highly unusual person that can do what you just described.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not saying that they don't exist, but I think they are very, very few and far between.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, you still need some form of support. Like, I can see someone saying, hey, like, I do work better alone. Mm-hmm. We keep going back to the health thing because that's easy. It's the new year. We all want to be a little healthier. We all ate too much chicken wing dip on the 31st. But, like, even having, Steve, you brought up, like, hey, spouse, stop buying ho-hos. That is a thing. So when I was like, hey, I want to be a little bit healthier, so talking to my wife and just saying, this is my idea. This is kind of what I'm aiming for. So then she's at least there to support and help. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I go, hey, you have to come to the gym with me. Some of us need that partner, partner.
But maybe she's been thinking the same thing, and she's like, oh, good. Well, we're going to start having healthier meals. Because then when you're doing that together part is part of the guardrail system, right? Mm-hmm. To really help us. And I think those conversations with the significant people in our lives are important to have.
Yeah, the encouragement. I've definitely brought this up on this podcast before, but she knows that if I'm able to get out on a walk, just move my body a bit more, that just makes everything better. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives me time to think. It helps me feel better. And so there's times where she's like, hey, like, you take 20 minutes. Like, that's nothing in the grand scheme of things. But having someone else to remind me to do that and to kind of spur me on and encourage me is super helpful. So,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have that person that calls you in the morning at 5 to go
wake up
to go run. But it could, right?
Yeah.
But having a support system definitely is helpful.
I like how you include in there, Brian, the 20 minutes. We all have 20 minutes in our day, but that's what could seem like a really small, insignificant piece of time is a small incremental step towards being the person you want to be, which I think is important to recognize. I'm curious too, guys. Like, Proverbs 29 says, people perish for lack of vision. And I can't help but think about that phrase, like, when we're talking about being successful in our endeavors too, whether it's, I want to grow in my relationship with God this year, I want to be a healthier person, I want my relationships to be better. Like, where do you guys think, having vision, meaning like having an idea in your mind where you want to head, like being clear on what is my life going to be about? Who am I going to be about? Like, where does that fall in this equation? Like, do you guys think that's important to have vision? Does that have anything to do with what we're talking about today?
Yes. Yes to both.
Okay.
It has things to do. I mean, it goes back to what we kind of touched on towards the beginning, that you need to have an idea of who you want to be.
Yeah.
I was just watching a bunch of stuff about public speaking, and the guy was talking about just sometimes people go, well, if I'm working on how I'm presenting myself, doesn't that feel like I'm just like playing a role, like I'm acting? And his retort was, well, everything that you work on, like who you are right now, you've been working on and practicing this person that you are your entire life. If you want to become better, if you want to become something different, it's going to feel awkward at the beginning. And so you need to view all of that as like, hey, you're just practicing to become that vision, that idea of what you have for the future. So if you're saying, I want to be healthier, then start practicing being healthier, and it'll become easier as you go.
Yeah. I definitely think, you know, vision, personal vision is critical to this subject that we're talking about. That's ties a little bit in with what I mentioned earlier about motivation and measurables. Like, where do I want to be? Scripture talks about committing our way to the Lord. Psalm 37, 4 or 5. I think it's 5. Says that, you know, we should commit our way to the Lord. Well, that presumes that there is a way. Like, we have a kind of a game plan, right? We're committing to some sort of endeavor. So I think personal vision is important. Where am I going? And you know, why am I going there? What are the opportunities either that I would desire for myself, or what are the opportunities that I see God bringing my way, whether that's vocationally, relationally, you know, from a leisure standpoint. So I think having a sense of what's happening in my life, where I want to grow, where I see development, what are some of the things that I hope to accomplish, where do I want to make a difference? I think those are all super huge elements of that motivation piece of that.
Yeah. And a lot of what you just said, Steve, I feel like when you're talking about including others in your life and in your sphere, several of those that you just mentioned work best when you have a sounding board, when you have somebody to go like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Where are my blind spots? Where am I not? Am I not seeing something that I should be seeing?
Exactly.
And for those listening, I mean, if I've certainly been in those spots where you're like, well, I don't have any good candidates around me. And maybe in the minutes that we have left, like, how do we find those people that are maybe worthy sounding boards? Like, what's a helpful direction we could set people?
Yeah. Well, I think some job qualifications for that job might be someone that you trust.
Yeah.
You know, and someone that you would actually listen to if they gave you input.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just like, hey, what's your opinion? Yeah, well, you don't know what you're talking about anyway.
Which is a bit on you too, right? Like, you need to be willing to open yourself to say,
right,
okay, I'm going to take your instruction and criticism to heart.
So I think applying what Scripture says about if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. Yeah. You know, who are the people that, by your evaluation, are living out the types of things that you aspire to?
Right. Yeah.
Then try and make a connection. Maybe you don't have a strong relationship with that person, but maybe you could say to them, hey, like, I see you seem like a really, you know, you really got your family, you know, things are going well in your family, and you're a good husband, good dad, whatever. And, you know, I want those things for myself, but could you help me understand how you got to where you are? And
it's great advice.
You know, seek that out from people around you. You know, and I think the other thing is looking for opportunities for you to invest in others as well. Mm-hmm. Like, is there someone around me that, like, I could just, you know, not necessarily literally, but, you know, figuratively kind of put my arm around and say, hey, seems like you're really trying to head this direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been down that road. Maybe I can help you, give you some advice. You want to bounce ideas off of me. Because then you're giving into that process, even if it's not for your personal benefit, as well as having the opportunity to receive. So I think, you know, looking, and some people talk about a clock, you know, those at 3 and 9 are our peers. Those at 12 are the people we're going after, and 6 are the ones that we're, you know, trying to help out. You know, I think always having a 12 and a 6 is important. So sometimes we need to seek that out. We, you know, who are the people that are the people we want to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And realizing, I don't know what it is about us. Maybe it's just a human thing or it's a cultural thing, but we think we just need only the 12. We need that mentor that's above us that's perfect and is everything that we want to be. If you're looking for a perfect mentor, you're never going to find one aside from Jesus. But with that, like, as you were talking about it, Steve, it just reminded me that you can have people for those different areas. There could be that one person who you're like, man, I just love the relationship you have with your spouse. Like, I want to, I would love to pick your brain about that stuff specifically. And then someone else, whether it's the physical health aspect of, hey, you seem to have it all together with staying healthy. Like, I want to pick your brain about that. Hey, you seem to know a lot about theology. I want to pick your brain about that. You're for speaking, whatever it is, like all these different areas of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grab people from all of those and like,
that's great.
Yeah. Lean into them.
It's almost like it's your, you know, kind of forming your little team there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But that's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing. Otherwise we're just all on our own floating around.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
And I would say don't be nervous about approaching people for stuff like that. Cause I don't know anyone that wouldn't like to be, admired or even just called out for the positive things in their life. So someone, if you're saying, hey, I noticed this good thing about you, someone wants to hear that.
Yeah.
So,
And you mentioned too, Brian, early on in the podcast today about how quick our society is very like instantaneous. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that don't quit when you trip kind of thing. You know, be willing to invest time into those relationships. Don't say, oh, you didn't help me in the first week that I talked with you, so I'm moving on. Like that, it takes time, and an investment implies that there's some time involved there. So, you know, don't give up on that too soon. You might be that close to really breaking through.
Yep.
And if anything that we talked about today has kind of sparked your thinking, we'd love to hear from you. We have a very simple email way to connect with us. It's podcast@victorchurch.org, podcast@victorchurch.org. We hope this maybe, you know, kind of motivates you to head into this new calendar year with some intention and intentionality and maybe some very practical steps you can take as you continue to grow into all that God wants you to be. So with that said, Brian, Alex,
hey,
we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Bye, guys.